Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Buongiorno. Good morning. I am actually trilingual. I'll try any language. Now, I was actually in quite an interesting song service there. Normally, before I get up to speak, we sing Not Many Wise Men Are Called. So, Martin threw me a little bit with It Won't Be Long Now, but I guess that's what you're all thinking. Here we go. As was introduced, my name is Paul Spencer, and I'm from the Isle of Man, which, for those of you who don't know where the Isle of Man is, if from you go up the St. George's Channel on the coast of England into the Irish Sea, we lie in between England and Ireland. And we also lay claim to having the oldest continuous parliament in the face of the earth, which is 1,037 years old. And I can actually remember as a child, when we, a seven-year-old boy, when we celebrated our millennium. And the same trip they made back in 979 AD in Viking longboats from Trondheim, they repeated the same trip in 1979 in a Viking longboat with a load of Vikings and Manxmen, which is what I am, I'm a Manxman. And they arrived at Peel Harbour in a Viking longboat. So we have the oldest continuous parliament in the world. But now I currently reside in Sweden, as Martin said. Can everyone see me behind this microphone? Am I? It's quite a big one. as I say, I live in Sweden now with my three children, Isaac, Aaron, and Victoria, who are over there. I'm a single father, or a 50-50 dad. I have them every other week. And unfortunately, there's no other members of the church in Sweden. So for the last 12 years, I've kept the Sabbath on my own. So I know there's a few out here who are very isolated as well and can relate to that. So that's my situation for the Sabbath. But we still do have a shirt and tie service when my children are there, or even when I'm on my own. More often than not, I'll put a shirt and tie on and have some form of formal service, even though I'm just on my own. Just one thing I just make people aware of. This year has been a little bit rough for us. We had a lot of problems getting the children out of school, and we got something like five or six official no's from the school until eventually I had to tell them, well, we're going anyway, so we're either going to cooperate or not, as the case may be. And then it went up to local government level, and finally we did get a yes from the school about 2 weeks ago. And so we were allowed to come and keep the feast without too much further complication. So enough of that. I actually only have a sermonette, so not a split sermon. So this will be a little shorter than maybe you think it will be. So this is the sermonette starting. Hopefully. Yeah. We'll just see how it goes. Now, in 1999, I had the honour to give my first sermonette at the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm actually a first-generation Christian. I started reading church literature in 92, early 93, and was baptised in 95. So the same amount of Feast of Tabernacles United have had, that's the same for me. So this is my 21st feast. But in 1999, I had the privilege to give a sermonette at the feast. And after sitting down and almost hyperventilating on the front row, I'm not joking, it was a crazy experience. But after sitting down on the front row, the sermon gentleman got up, Mr. Bill Winner, who I'm sure many of you will have known, asked the question, what was Mr. Armstrong's favourite scripture? Does anybody know? Well, it surprised me then nobody knew the answer. And ever since then, the reason I make reference to this is because since then it's become my favourite scripture. Not because it was his, but because in just a few small verses, short verses, it explains God's plan. So if you could turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, and we'll turn to chapter 3 of the book of Acts. Like I say, God's plan in just a few short verses. Actually, last Sabbath, we had the privilege in Sweden of having Lewis and Lena van Orstel come and stay with us. And for our Sabbath service, we came up with the idea we would each read our favourite verse, expound it a little bit to each other, and communicate. The other people could also add in what they thought of each of these verses. So I didn't actually use this one. I used Psalm 23, which which is another favourite. But it was a very good, interesting Bible study as we went through it. But if you turn to Acts chapter 3, and we'll read verses 18 through 21. It says, "But these things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." Now, I've never properly checked how long after the Passover and the suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ this was, but we know Pentecost was the previous chapter. So only a few short months after the suffering of Jesus Christ, they were clearly able to relate that all the things that were written about had been fulfilled. And they'd been written about not just by a few of the prophets, but all of the prophets had written about the suffering of Jesus Christ. And they could, as you know, you read the conclusion to the Gospels, we see, you know, his clothes would be divided up and this would happen and that would happen and all these things were fulfilled. And they could see that. And it was only months ago, a very short time ago, that this took place for them then. It carries on in verse 20. "And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So not only did all the prophets write about the suffering and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they also all wrote about the time of refreshing, about the time of restoration, about the kingdom of God that is represented by this Feast of Tabernacles. This time of restoration, which is my title for the sermonette if you want one, is one of the reasons we're here, to be reminded of this time of restoration. We all look forward to many things we can think of that will be restored in the kingdom of God. All things are going to be restored. But for this sermonette, I'd just like to look at one. If you could turn back with me, please, to Genesis chapter 11. Because this restoration of this particular event will make a huge impact on my life and also on just all of us in this room. The difference this restoration would have on us here would be quite phenomenal. This is the way things were. Genesis, in fact, just a few months ago, what we do, well, generally speaking, in the morning, I'll do half an hour, 45 minutes of prayer and study. And then the week I have my children, during breakfast, we read through a chapter of the Bible. We're currently going through the book of Job, but we've done Genesis, which is, I'm referencing here. And the reason we went through the book of Genesis was I wanted to teach my children about the origins of why things are the way they are. We can look at things like the Arab-Israeli crisis, for example, and all sorts of things that are talked about. The origins, the beginnings of many of all these things happened in the book of Genesis. And here we read of another one. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 11. "Now the earth had one language and one speech." What a difference that would make to us in this room. One language and one speech. I guess there's only one person in the room who will be disappointed, and that would be our professional translator. But I'm sure there are other jobs out there as well. But half of the feasts I've kept, I've been to France 5 times. This is my first time in Italy. I've been to Portugal 2 times. And I've been to Estonia 4 times. And for really speaking, I've been unable to communicate with any of the brethren there. Only 1 or 2 of them, and sometimes in small, you know, pidgin English. And that is a result of what is about to take place in the next verses. So we're going to read through from verse 2 to verse 9. "And it came to pass that they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly,' that they had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens.'" Always reminds me of what Satan wanted to do as well. "I will ascend to the heavens, to the top who's in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Of course, we know God originally told Adam and Eve to go forth and multiply and fill the earth. Just a couple of chapters earlier, he told Noah to do the same thing. And man, as he consistently does, is rebelling against the word of God. Obviously, we heard yesterday of Mr. Preston, he was unafraid to go forth and multiply. But you know, maybe we should have just got them a television instead of building a tower. I mean, I'm in the building trade myself, and you know, if you build a tower or go forth and multiply, I'm not building a tower. But anyway, that's what these people decided to do. But the Lord came down in verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. There's more than one of them, but this is, what did he call it? Plurality and unity. Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. So God's will be done. They got scattered anyway, even though they thought, that's not going to happen. That's what happened. God's will be done. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building a city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. I have to point out here as well that the potential the people had for, in this case, evil, was enormous, because they were unified and they had one language. And when that power is released again in the future of unity, but in the right direction, our potential will also be enormous as well. And that's the impact of one language. Like I say, I live in Sweden. Jag kan prata svenska, men det hjälper inte att på grund av ingen här förstår vad jag säger bara mina barn. But I speak Swedish, and although it's my grammar there was probably all over the place. In fact, we have this little rule in Swedish called ett and en. It's not masculine and feminine, but it's a similar rule. And recently my children said, stop using ett and en, just use one of them. Then you've got more of a chance of being right. So that's confidence for you. But I live in Swedish. My children are sat at the kitchen table, so they speak Swedish to each other. I never speak English to anybody at work, so I'm quite fluent in the problems caused by what happened here in the book of Genesis. But as I say, we're looking forward here at this Feast of Tabernacles to the kingdom of God, to the time of the restoration of all things. Let's turn over to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. The first person to find the page, if they could shout the number out, help the rest of us. No, just kidding, it's on page 827 in my Bible. But Zephaniah chapter 3, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. Zephaniah was the great-great-grandson of the righteous king Hezekiah. He preached around the times of the reforms of another righteous king of Judah, Josiah. And he uses the term Day of the Lord more than any other Old Testament prophet, even in these few short chapters. So this is definitely a book about the end time and about the restoration of all things. And like all the other prophets, he spoke about the time the restoration of all things. Zephaniah chapter 3, we'll start in verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour out my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy, the returning Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, the restoration of one thing. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord. Again, the unlocking of incredible potential, a pure language that we're able to worship the Lord with, to call upon his name, to serve him with unity. And what a much needed change this will be. What an amazing difference it would make to us here in this room. When everybody can communicate in one language, all the curse words, all the pagan terms that are riddled without our languages will be removed. I'd like they're interwoven in today's tongues. For me personally, I look forward to that time where I can speak to all of the Italian brethren who are here, when I can speak to the Portuguese brethren, when I can speak to the French brethren, when I can speak to all brethren around the world, the Hebrews, the Greeks. In that time of the restoration of all things, pictured of by this Feast of Tabernacles, spoken of by all the prophets, a time when the kingdom of God will be here.